Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we also have a website, propheticnews.com. We have a YouTube channel that's under my name, Susan Puzio. And if you would like to contact me, my email address is susan@propheticnews.com. And our other contact information, our post office box, and is on our website. So that information is there if you need to have that. There's so much in the news this week. Talk about news. Truly, we are in the end times, aren't we? I want to just go over a few scriptures before we get started today. In the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at a couple of scriptures on the word perverse. Proverbs 12:8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Proverbs 14:2, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Proverbs 17:20, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. So those scriptures really do apply, don't they? They seem to really apply to what's going on in the false church, I'll call it, the Jezebel church, the Whore of Babylon church that we see portrayed for the most part on what they call Christian television, but is far from it. So we see many people with a perverse tongue that have sold out to Satan and only preach the gospel for filthy lucre's sake, and they don't even preach the gospel. I won't even call it the gospel because it's so far from it. So we need to know the word of God today. We need to stay in the word, and we need to know the truth for ourselves, because I think the days ahead, we are going to be surprised at what happens. So we have to be ready for what happens. And take, for instance, let's talk a little bit about Ebola. Now, when did we ever think that we were going to see this in our lifetime? Of course, they had a terrible flu outbreak. I think it was in the early 1900s. That they had that, and how many millions of people died and people had to be quarantined. But in my lifetime, I've never seen a virus like the Ebola virus. Now, some people have said that, well, we've had flu and we had AIDS, and we have a lot of things, but I don't remember any kind of a virus where people had to wear a hazmat suit to treat the person, or wear a hazmat suit to stand next to the person. So I don't think they really know how you can catch this thing I don't know where it came from. I have no proof one way or another about where Ebola came from. All I know is it's here right now. So it's here. You have probably, they say, 75% of people that contract it die. So you don't stand a good chance of living once you get it. And your eyes bleed, you hemorrhage, you have kidney failure, your immune system goes into shock. So, no, this is not just an ordinary virus that we don't have to be concerned about. We do have to be concerned because, like I said, why do people have to wear hazmat suit when they treat these people? Even when you saw the one nurse that was being transferred to a isolation unit at the NSH, the people that were transporting her had a hazmat suit on. And so if they didn't think it was contagious just being around her, then why were they wearing hazmat suits? I guess and maybe they were going to treat her on the plane or whatever, but this is no ordinary virus. And so just think of the consequences now, according to the news reports that I was looking on before I went on the air. And they're saying that the hospital in Dallas, where the man died, and the two nurses that were treating him got Ebola, they say that it's a ghost town. So now let's talk a little bit about the consequences of people's actions, because we need to be responsible for our actions. I think I mentioned it last week that I have elderly parents and they're susceptible to the flu, the elderly, and young children. So I had a family member one time pick her up, my mother up in a car, and not say that they had the flu. They picked her up in a car and put her in the car and gave her a kiss and took her to a birthday party with other people that had the flu. And she came home and she was in bed for 3 weeks. She was having trouble breathing. And I was the one that was up with her at night taking care of her because of somebody else's negligence. So I understand a little bit about passing things on to people and what the consequences are. So even when I would tell my family members not to come around if they have colds or the flu, they would get angry because I was telling them that. And so you can see the actions, the chain reaction of one person that came into contact with people with Ebola in Liberia who came back to this country and spread it to two nurses. And it remains to be seen because they say that it has a 21 to 45 day actually incubation period. So let's talk about the financial consequences of people's actions. If you know that you have been exposed to Ebola, or even the healthcare workers that took care of the man that died, and why wasn't he sent to this NHS facility where it's a facility that's enclosed? And why expose a whole hospital? Now, who's going to want to go to that hospital? They're already saying it's a ghost town. Who's going to want to fly on Frontier Airlines after the nurse that had Ebola gets on an airplane and goes to a bridal shop? And who's going to want to go to that lady's bridal shop now? She's been on the news. Her bridal shop's been on the news. People can't go to work. the parents of the nurse that had Ebola, came down with Ebola, went to work at Kent State after she left, and they had to, after they found out that she was sick, they had to tell them not to come to work, and then they had to close down schools. So let's think about our actions before we do things. If we, you know, it's like, I don't believe this whole thing. They have to appoint an Ebola czar. I could be the Ebola czar, okay? Don't restrict travel. Don't let people come here and spread this thing. And if people are around it, they have to go into quarantine. This is a deadly disease. This is no joke. So we have to take it seriously. And they're supposed to be intelligent people running these organizations. Like, I don't think that they're so intelligent that they let it even get this far. Anyway, I don't believe the whole thing. And I know that Jesus said that in the last days we were going to see pestilence. And we're seeing that. But I think as Christians we should be responsible and to think about what we're doing. I wish that things were different. Nobody wants to see anybody sick and come down with Ebola, especially. So if things had been done correctly, these two nurses wouldn't have had it. And then even somebody that was treating Mr. Duncan went on a cruise. And so now, imagine all those people on this cruise ship after they find out that somebody is on the cruise that was treating the man that died of Ebola. So, they had to put this woman in quarantine, and then when they got to Belize, they wanted her to get off the ship so that they could fly her back to America. And the country of Belize had more common sense than we do in this country, and they said that they weren't going to allow her to get off the ship in their country. So, no, they weren't going to allow it. And then, you know, these dummies on CNN are saying, oh, wow, why wouldn't Belize let her get off the ship? Well, I wouldn't let her get off the ship either in my country if she was around somebody with Ebola, because we don't know yet or if she has it. So I don't understand people at all. I don't understand it. But, you know, why anybody that was around somebody with this kind of a disease didn't stay home and say, I think I'm going to wait. I'm going to go into a self-imposed quarantine here so that I make sure that I don't ruin anybody else's life or anybody else's trip or whatever. So I don't get it, but that's the days we're living in anyway. So that's the thing about Ebola. But we're going to see how this thing plays out. Hopefully no one else will come down with it. Why they haven't instituted a travel ban, I don't get that one either, because it is spreading rapidly in certain African countries, unfortunately, and we have to know who's coming here so that we can put a stop to it, because there's no sense in putting whole cities in a panic, and we're seeing that. But thank God for Psalm 91. No evil shall befall me, and no plague will come nigh my dwelling. So we ask for God's divine protection, and we pray for the people, the caretakers. Imagine the caretakers then thank God for these doctors and these nurses that care for these people. They really are brave. So let's be praying for this whole situation to turn around, because it is ugly, no doubt. But how about now, there's a news story, and I don't know if some of you saw this. This week in the city of Houston. Now, Houston, isn't that Joel Osteen country? I think it's Joel Osteen country. But anyway, the city of Houston has elected a mayor, a female, and she's a homosexual. And I guess they're trying to pass some kind of an ordinance there where they want transgender people, like if it's really a man but he dresses like a woman, if he wants to go into a ladies' room, he can go into a ladies' room. Well, I don't want a man in the ladies' room when I go there. I don't care, you know, if he has a wig on or a dress or what. It's not a man, okay? If you were born a man, you are a man. God didn't make a mistake, so I don't want to share my bathroom with a man. And I don't think that in a men's room that women that dress like men should be in the men's room either. But anyway, the pastors in Houston now, they wanted them, the mayor wants them to turn over their sermons because they want to know if they're speaking out homosexuality. Well, the Bible speaks out against homosexuality. The Bible says in Romans 1 that men, women burned in their lust one for another, and so did men leave the natural use of a woman. And so the Bible is very clear on the subject. There's no black and white. So, yeah, Brother Vincent. Seems like Osteen isn't having a positive influence on Houston. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, Houston, that's not exactly the Bible Belt. But anyway, I'm going to play this news story. It's about 6 minutes long. And you'll get a little bit of an idea of what's been going on in Houston this week.
There's a war over religious liberty in Houston, Texas. On one side is the city's first openly lesbian mayor. On the other are five conservative pastors who were served subpoenas, ordered to turn over any sermons dealing with homosexuality and gender issues. One of those pastors is Hernan Castano, and he believes the mayor got caught with her hand in the religious liberty cooking jar. And Pastor Castano joins us now from Houston. Pastor, why does the mayor want your sermon, sir?
That is the question we ask our own selves, and everyone's asking. The pastors of Houston and of this great nation are asking those questions. We preach four or five times a week. We give our messages to the city of Houston and also to many other countries of the world, and it's a message out of the Bible. We believe that they have just overstepped, gone over the limit. They want to intimidate the pastors of America, and they want to use us five to send a message to those pastors and to everyone that would oppose their way of governing here in the city of Houston. So this is very dangerous if we allow this to go on from here, from Houston to the rest of the nation.
You know, Pastor, your attorneys at Alliance Defending Freedom seem to believe that they're going to use that material from your sermons to smear you and your fellow pastors there. What's your take on that?
Well, I have no doubt that that's probably their intentions. They want to use that material to sh- show everyone that we hate, that we maybe are against them because we are definitely extremists, but that's so far away from the truth. All we've done is help and be a part of 55,000 signatures in the city of Houston to oppose an ordinance that is against the people of the city of Houston. And we have asked them to allow the people to vote, to express their voice, and they will not listen. They think they are the only ones that can decide what to do, and they can just reject the signatures and throw them away. Just like the secretary of the city of Houston said, she had validated those signatures. She had actually seen those signatures and said they were okay until the attorney of the city decided they were not legible. So there's something happening here in the city of Houston in government. And because we spoke and we used the First Amendment freedom of speech, they're trying to stop us from speaking. They're trying us to cover our mouths like this and don't say nothing. Mm. We have freedom of speech and religion, and that's what we're saying.
You know, Pastor, the mayor, she doesn't seem to be a big fan of yours. She's on Twitter. I'm not sure if you guys follow each other and share tweets, but she put something out a few days ago. I want to read this tweet to you. If the five pastors used pulpits for politics, their sermons are fair game. I want to get your reaction to that.
Well, if she's talking about fair game and our sermons being fair game, our sermons are live streamed on a daily basis out of the churches, and she can listen to them. She's welcome to come to our church and sit down and listen of the love of God and also listen what the Word of God says. But if she's talking about fair game will be for them to allow the people's 55,000 signatures and take this ordinance to the people to decide in November. But they don't want a fair game. They just want to intimidate. They just want to silence the pastors of America, and they want to have control over religion. This is, I'm shocked. It's amazing. Right. Some of us came from different countries. I was born in a foreign country. 5 months I came to this great nation. I'm an American citizen because we believe and we love this nation for its freedom. And they're trying to intimidate us and take that freedom away from pastors. Someone's got to stop this.
Pastor, on Wednesday, the mayor assured us reporters that the subpoenas were going to be narrowed, but so far that hasn't happened. The subpoenas have not been rescinded. So my question to you is, are you going to comply with the subpoena? And if you don't, are you prepared for the possibility that you could go to jail?
We are prepared to speak and have that freedom of speech. We are prepared to serve our God, which is a higher authority, and we believe, we still have hope that this nation has people of moral values, of truth, people that have the belief that freedom of speech is a First Amendment protected right for all of us, and that they would not allow abuse of power to send us to jail. But if it was to happen, we believe strongly we are doing the right thing by speaking what we feel deeply in our hearts and speaking for the voices of this city and of this nation. And we will humbly, with all the love that we have, accept whatever happens here. But again, our hope is that there will be a reaction in this nation to stop this.
All right, Sunday's coming around, Pastor. What do you tell the congregation come Sunday morning?
I would tell the congregation and I would tell every pastor to not be afraid, to just stand up and speak what is truth and what represents justice. And again, when you have nothing to hide, when you are acting in all honesty and integrity, you do not make changes and you do not play a game. Your identity does not need to be changed. The mayor of the city and the governor of the city, and I call upon those at city council that sit in those seats of power to speak up. If they are there elected by the people, they should speak up to the mayor of this city and to the city attorney on what's happening in this city, and they should speak up in representation of the people. And that's what I would tell the church, to pray for strength, to pray for wisdom in all of our hearts, but above all, to pray for this great nation.
Yeah, so now... they want to say that if you speak out against homosexuality in your church, that it's a political issue. Well, it's not a political issue. But this is only the tip of the iceberg, I believe, of the persecution that's coming down the road. Because I believe in the country of Great Britain, and I think in Canada, that it is illegal to speak out against homosexuality. And it is considered a hate crime in some countries. So whatever happens usually in other countries, then we start seeing it. Eventually it's going to come here. So where now they're going to subpoena the pastor's sermons, or they were saying they were going to subpoena the pastor's sermons. Like he said, his sermons are broadcast live. They're live streamed. Anybody could listen to his sermon. So he's not trying to hide anything. Why do you have to subpoena his sermons? That's a form of intimidation, isn't it? To threaten someone that we're going to subpoena your sermon when it's out there anyway for the public to hear it. We're not ashamed of the gospel. That's what preachers are. We're preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hold a Bible, we open it, and we preach out of it. It's nothing that we made up. I didn't write the book. So, but that's just a sign of the times, and that's what's going to be coming down the road. But I encourage you to do your own investigation about the situation in some other countries when people speak out on such issues as homosexuality. We have a right to tell people the truth of what the Bible says. There was also a story this week about a street preacher, and this will be coming to a neighborhood near you soon, too. A street preacher charged with religious aggravation for comparing Jesus and Muhammad, and this happened in Great Britain. Street evangelist Mike Overd, a client of the Christian Legal Center, is being prosecuted in the United Kingdom for an alleged religious aggravation public order offense. The charges follow a complaint to police that Overd made a comparison between the perfect life of Jesus and the life of Islam's prophet Muhammad. Police have informed the former paratrooper that the Crown Prosecution Services wishes to bring three charges against him under Section 5 of the Public Order Act. A Taunton police sergeant recently gave an interview to the BBC television urging residents to film the evangelist preaching, as it was alleged that Overd's preaching was causing offense. Well, yeah, no kidding. Didn't Jesus say that many will be offended because of you and what you're saying, your mother and father and your sisters and brothers, and people were going to turn against you? Yeah, no kidding. We have chapter and verse for that. Overd insists that when he made a comparison between the perfect life of Jesus and the life led by Muhammad, he did not speak in a hateful way. But obviously, see, it's okay for them to hate him for preaching that. Oh, it's okay for them to hate him for saying what he was saying, and he's going to be prosecuted for it. That's okay, right? But no, he can't. He can't have his freedom of speech, but the people that believe in Muhammad, they can have their freedom of speech. The Muslim gentleman didn't take offense because he said he knew I was simply preaching what I believed and agreed there was no hatred in me. I've got this incident on video, he said, and I also have video evidence of the incidents which have led to this forthcoming prosecution. Now imagine, this poor man now is going to have to go to court. He's going to have to spend money to get an attorney, and all because he said something about Muhammad, which is probably true. I would say it's true. Anyone could go on the internet and look up the life of Muhammad and see the truth about him. So what are we supposed to do? Take down all the biographies? There's not supposed to be one biography about the Prophet and Muhammad. Imagine people belonging to a religion. And in case anybody listens to this program that is a Muslim, think about it for a minute. Imagine belonging to a religion where you kill people because they don't believe like you. You behead people because they don't believe like you. You hate people because they don't believe like you. What kind of a God is that? Why don't you come on in and come on in to and know a God of love and know people that have love in their heart that don't kill people because they don't believe like we believe. I don't know of any real Christians that act like that. I don't know of any real Christians that hate people that don't believe the way we believe and want to murder people and behead people that don't believe the way we believe. Who wants to serve a God like that when our God is a God of love and peace and mercy and compassion? So come on in and find out what real peace and real joy is to serve the ever-living God and to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So what about now? I don't know if anybody ever tunes in to this program. I'm going to call it Creatures of L.A. because I don't know where these people come from, because they certainly don't represent mainstream Christianity at all. I'm wondering, you asked me why do I look at it. I look at it to get information and just to see what they're doing and what they're saying, because here's a television program that is supposed to represent Christian ministries, so to speak. Well, it doesn't represent Christian ministries. Most of the women on this program that are supposed to be first ladies, okay, I don't really like that term, first lady, because there is no such a thing in a church as a first lady. There's ladies, and everybody's a lady. Everybody's a first lady, not just, you know, the pastor's wife. She doesn't get any special attention because her husband has a Bible and he opens it and talks out of it. So anybody can do that. So we don't get any special treatment. And so these are the first ladies. Okay, they call them first ladies. So obviously if you're a pastor's wife or you're a minister of the gospel and you're out in public preaching or you're on television preaching, don't you want to dress modestly? Don't you want to represent Christ in that way? Doesn't the Bible talk about Proverbs 31 woman, and she's modest? And doesn't the Bible extol the virtues of holiness and modesty? I'm shocked by the way these women dress, and then they want to say that they're the first lady, and they're setting the example for the other wives out there and the women in the church. Well, that's not the way to set the example. It's like the other day I turn on James Robison, and he's got some lady sitting in for him from Hillsong, and then who does he have on there but Cheryl Brady? Like, you know, what? And then he brings on Lisa Bevere, And Lisa must be close to 50, I guess. And she's, okay, she's on a worldwide television program, and she's there, you know, preaching and teaching. And I was trying to figure out the outfit. Like, she's got this skin-tight outfit on, pants, like, you know, you couldn't get a toothpick underneath the pant leg. And I'm saying to myself, wow, you know, here you have this worldwide audience. You're representing Jesus Christ. Okay, if you want to wear that to a rock show when you're going out with your husband, okay. You know, if you want to dress like a teenager in your personal life, but when you're standing before millions of people and you're representing Christ, could you at least dress modestly? Whatever happened to holiness? I don't know. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. I don't think so, though, because the Bible extols the virtue of holiness and modesty. So let's try to represent ourselves properly when we go out in public, ladies, you know, please. Because aren't we supposed to be different from the world? I want to know why on this program, Creatures of L.A., why, and excuse me for even mentioning this, because I personally do not believe that pastors should talk about sex from the pulpit. If you want to go into a counseling session, fine. But pastors of churches do not need to have sex seminars and to bring in teachers to teach on the subject. And I'm not even going to go into the other things that they did on this program last week. It was an abomination. It's one abomination after another. And the worst offender is, what's his name, Wayne something, and I think her name is Maisha. Like, where did they come from? Because they're not saved. No, they're not saved. You're not saved and you act like that. You act like a reprobate. Just because somebody hands you a TV script and a few $100,000 to appear on a program that's supposed to represent Christian ministries. Okay, we're human beings. Yes, we are. We all know that. But to sell out and to degrade yourself and to degrade the gospel of Jesus Christ for money and some FaceTime on TV, well, no, forget about it. You know what? Ugh, honest. I'm looking for one person on there. Just when you think that maybe there's one of these guys that's going to really take a stand for Christ and say something that's going to really help somebody out there that's going to want to be a Christian, but they don't do it. You know, they're just wishy-washy. And because why are they like that? Because they know that if they don't toe the line, there won't be any more Creatures of L.A. There won't be any more big paychecks. There won't be any more fame and fortune. So, you know, like the one guy, Dietrich Haddon, he gets upset because anybody questions him of why he had sex before marriage and two babies out of wedlock. Well, no, I guess we're not supposed to question that. Really? Like, why would you be offended because anybody questions that? The Bible tells us that sex is only for marriage, and we're supposed to flee fornication and to flee lust, youthful lusts, the Bible says. So why would anybody be offended? Well, then they would have to be offended by reading the Bible too, I guess. So, but anyway, that program is ridiculous. Dear. Clarence McClendon. Now, you know, here's a guy that never worked a day in his life, really. I mean, never really had a real job, except he says he was anointed since he was a little boy, but no, he's anointed to lie, that's for sure, and he's anointed to pimp, because he sure knows about that. And, you know, he's got this beautiful young son, and he's hoping that his son is going to follow in his footsteps. Oh, no, please, I hope not. I hope not. I hope that this beautiful young boy grows up to really be a man of God, and that he doesn't imitate his father at all, at all. Don't learn from your father, please, and your mother. Learn from the Bible. But you can see, just like this morning, I was watching Rod Parsley, and now he's got some kind of a talk show, you know, on the Word Network. And but it always circles around to, you got to sow a seed, otherwise, you know, God won't hear you. And he's got his daughter, you know, she must be in her 20s, and he introduces his daughter, okay, and he says, now we're going to have a word from Ashton. So, okay, Ashton comes on, and she says, thank you very much, Pastor. Well, who calls their father pastor? Please give me a break already. Why can't she just say, okay, Dad? No, okay, Pastor. I'm like, oh, brother. I mean, the Kool-Aid, they were drinking it pretty heavy over there today. They were really drinking the Kool-Aid pretty heavy, and Rod had his prayer requests stacked up. Not next Saturday. Next Saturday we're going to have Jackie Elnor on, but the Saturday after that we're going to have Brother Moses Preston, and we're going to be talking about, you know, does God really operate in seasons, and does He have portals from heaven, and does God have a calendar? Does God sit up in heaven and say, okay, it is October 18th today. So today is October 18th. So I'm going to do something special today because it's October 18th. Does he do that? Now, if I have time today, I want to play a few clips. But if I don't, I'll play them on that program. But because you hear these people saying that, you know, God does everything in cycles and in seasons, and you can't miss your moment. And but I want to ask you a question. Now, logically, any clear-thinking person, do you ever remember Jesus, when you read about him in the Gospels, when he had his ministry and he walked on the earth and we saw what he did? But do you ever remember Jesus Christ himself going up to anyone and saying, excuse me, wait a minute now, but this is not your season, you know? You know, did he ever do it? No. Where did he? I don't know. I think these people come from another planet, right? I mean, they have to come from another planet, because I never remember Jesus Christ approaching, when anyone approached him for, if they were sick or if they came up to him and they cried to him, did he ever say to them, this is not your moment? And by the way, where is my seed faith offering? Because, you know, I don't do anything unless you lay some flowers at my feet and some candy, and especially dollar bills. I don't know. You know, it's some kind of a weird god that they serve. I think really his name is Buddha. It's not Jesus. Dear Lord. Someone was telling me, and now I'm not familiar too much with this Impact Network, But this pastor, and I'm going to put it in quotes, Wayne T. Jackson is the head of this. I guess he owns it, of the Impact Network, and it's out of Detroit, Michigan, and they've been having a telethon. But anyway, Wayne T. Jackson has a long history of weirdness, and he's the pastor, and you can look up this video on YouTube. But he's the pastor that has these so-called anointing services where he transfers his anointing, like who wants it, but he supposedly transfers his anointing. And what he does is he has grown men, you know, fine-looking men, probably college-educated men. He has these men lay on the floor. They're laying face down on a carpet, and, you know, a carpet that everybody and their mother walked on, and their face is in the carpet, and he's going to ordain them as bishops. Now, you have to see this to believe it. And what he does is he lays a red cloth over these grown men, like these 6 foot, you know, football player like men, and he lays a cloth over them, and then he jumps on top of them. Okay? Like, okay, who does that? It made the newspapers, and it made the news, and everybody was talking about it because it was on the internet. And he's standing there with his wife, Wayne Jackson, and he's trying to say that's normal. Now, excuse me, but there is no way that if it was my husband, that I would let my husband lay on the floor with his face in the carpet and have some man jump on top of him. No. No. And, you know, his wife is standing next to him, and she's agreeing with him, and she's smiling. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, this guy is way out there. But anyway, he has this Impact Network, and this week they were having their annual Begathon, which it's the same lingo, the same promises, the same everything. They promise you the world, and you know, just like you hear on every other channel. But anyway, he had on Bernard Jordan. Okay, now, if anybody knows anything about Bernard Jordan and his son Manasseh, and like, who names their son Manasseh? Manasseh was the most wicked king. And so who in their right mind names, even would, like, who names their daughter Jezebel? Nobody. So who names their son Manasseh, except somebody that serves the devil? And Bernard Jordan was mentored by Reverend Ike. If anybody knows of who Reverend Ike was, you know, he was into witchcraft and the New Age, and, you know, weird guy, totally weird. You can, if you don't know who he is, you can go on the internet and find, you know, his bio. But anyway, this man, Reverend Ike, very strange. He had something like, I don't know, 11 Rolls Royces, and he thought he was God or something. But anyway, Bernard Jordan was trained by him, and Bernard Jordan and his son try to pass themselves off as Christians. Well, they're not. There's even pictures of Bernard Jordan on the internet with Indian gurus, and he's even got the ashes in the middle of his forehead, and he's wearing the whole Indian garb. He's a psychic. A friend of mine told me that he sets up, if you go to his conferences, he has a special tent set up inside a hotel room, and you have to pay $10,000 to go inside the tent to have a personal meeting with him to get a prophecy. Well, anyway, this is the guy that they had on the Impact Network giving a prophecy to Wayne T. Jackson. Okay. please. You know, how weird is it going to get? How much weirder? And here's this man pastoring a church, claiming to have a Christian television network, and he invites Bernard Jordan on the air to give him a prophecy. Anyway, please stay away from Wayne T. Jackson. Stay away from the Impact Network. Stay away from anybody that's on the Impact Network. Boycott it totally, just like the rest of them. Very, very strange. Very strange. And I even tuned into God TV this week to see what was happening. Of course, you know, last week Wendy Alec gave the report that her husband, Rory Alec, the former CEO and president of God TV, has run away with another woman and does not want anything more to do with the ministry or with her or with their two children. And now he's living in South Africa with this woman. And so you would think that Wendy Alec, now this week they've been having what they call their revival alert, which is a telethon. So you would think that in her state of utter brokenness and that she would take this time for reflection and maybe listen to a few people on the internet that are warning her about the heresy and the heretics that they have on God TV, that maybe this is the beginning of judgment and the beginning of the end of God TV. When your husband, who is supposed to be born again, spirit-filled Christian, runs off with another woman and leaves, doesn't want anything to do with you or his family or the ministry, in quotes I'm putting it because I don't know what kind of ministry it is at this point, but you think that, you know, she would really take this time to reflect on her own life. No. Who does she bring on there this week but Todd Koontz? She brings Todd Koontz on, who is the worst, besides Mike Murdoch. He's the father of the Seed Faith Con. Now, I just have a few minutes left. I'm going to play this clip quickly so you can hear how Wendy did not repent, and listen to Todd Koontz.
It might not be my turn, but it is my time. I'd go ahead and say that right where you're at. I would say, it might not be my turn, but it is my time. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, spent all she had. She fought herself through the crowd and got to Jesus. And she said, if I can touch his garment, the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. It might not have been her turn, but it was her time. Jesus did not have her on his mind. She had Jesus on her mind. Because it's your divine faith. It's your divine faith. It's your step of faith that schedules divine intervention. That's a seed. Time is a seed. Thoughts are a seed. Kindness is a seed. Everything in your life is a seed. I want you to look at that again. The force of any seed. When you ask God for a harvest, he will always ask you and require a seed. A farmer, in the practical world, if he wants to reap a harvest, he will cultivate the soil. He will buy the best seed. He'll buy the seed that he wants to reap. If he wants to get a big harvest, he'll buy and sow and plant a lot of seed. Because he knows he can't have a harvest if he doesn't sow seed. So the amount of seed you sow does determine the quality and the amount of harvest that you receive. As long as the earth remains, there will be seed, time, harvest. It governs every principle on the earth. Everything is a seed. See, sowing is not optional. Everybody sows, believers and non-believers. Sowing is not optional. What you sow and where you sow is optional. Because everybody, every day of your life, you will sow. It's a principle that's fixed, and it cannot be changed. The seed will multiply, because in every seed is an invisible instruction that was spoken by God. Seed, you will multiply. Seed, you will multiply. Seed, you will multiply. It cannot be explained. It cannot be figured out. The greatest scientists who have ever lived have dissected seeds, but they cannot explain why a seed multiplies, but it does. Why? Because there's something divine about a seed. Hallelujah. You have a seed right now. You have a seed right now within your reach that can change your season. There is a season-changing seed. Abraham wanted a season change, so he offered Isaac. God replaced Isaac with a ram, but still he offered the seed. And Abraham became the father of all nations. There's a seed that changes everything. Not far from here, in 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, David was in a battle. He saw 70,000 of his men fall in 72 hours. The Bible says that he offered God an offering that cost him something. Because he said, I won't insult God. I won't give God something that doesn't cost me. And when he made an offering to God, I call it a battle seed. The Bible says that God saw it and the plague stopped. There's a seed that changes every season. There's a seed that will change your season. There's a seed that you have within your reach right now that when you sow it, it will go into the nostrils of God as a sweet-smelling savor. It will be recognized by God because it was your step of obedience. There's enough seed within your reach to change your future. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. There was a woman who had two sons that was going to be sold into debtor's prison based on Mosaic law. It was legal. Her husband was a prophet, but he died, left her deeply in debt. She cried out to God. And when she cried out to God, God dispatched the man of God, Elisha, and sent her to the house of the widow woman. He came knocking on the door. She opened the door and he said, what do you have in your house?
Give me your money.
There is an anointing that's beginning to flow here right now.
Yeah, sure.
There's an anointing for breakthrough that's flowing right now.
Yeah, sure.
Glory to God.
There's always an anointing that's flowing for breakthrough. Wow. Anyway, that's our program for today. But I wanted to ask anybody out there, if anybody has a testimony of how you've been duped by a prosperity preacher, please contact me. I'm working on a project and I need some testimonies. So it's Susan@propheticnews.com. That's my email address. Also, if there's anybody that lives in Orlando, Florida, or Dallas, Texas, or Los Angeles, I need some pictures of TBN. I need some pictures from Orlando. Also from, I'd like to get some pictures of the Kenneth Copeland ministry there in Dallas, Fort Worth. I would like to have the pictures because I would like to own the pictures so I could use them for my project without copyright, worrying about, you know, copyright things. So if you want to help me out, just email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. That would really be helpful. And don't remember, don't forget, Jesus Christ. He loves you, and he has a plan for your life. He has a plan of peace and joy and eternal life. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Repent of your sins today and give your life to Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your life and to change it and to make it better. He can make something beautiful out of your crazy life. God bless you all. And thank you so much for being with me today. Thank you, everybody in the chat room, everybody that's listening. Don't forget, next week, Jackie Alnor will be on. We'll be talking about The Rapture and the Left Behind movie. God bless.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. City that's set on a hill, its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.